¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo están? Buenos días, tardes o noches. Bienvenidos a un nuevo programa de Somos Washington. Este podcast acerca del Washington Football Team. Y como cada semana me acompaña Íñigo Maisterrena, y hoy tenemos invitado también, Íñigo.
Así es, Mike. Pues encantado de estar aquí platicando del equipo de nuestros amores. And we're very happy to have you, Huck, here in Somos, Washington.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your show.
Dice que muchas gracias por la invitación y que está encantado de estar aquí con nosotros. Huck, tell us, first of all, how did you become a Washington Football Team fan?
Okay. Well, so I became a fan of the Washington Football Team back in 1983. At the time, my family was living in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we had relatives that lived in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. So in 1983, when then Washington Redskins were playing the Miami Dolphins in Super Bowl 17, we asked our family and friends from the D.C. area, who should we root for? And they all said, of course, root for Washington. So I remember watching the game, and I'll never forget John Riggins' game-winning touchdown that, you know, led the team to a victory against the Miami Dolphins on that epic fourth down play, arguably the greatest play in Washington Football Team's history. And the rest was history. A couple years later, we actually moved back east to the Washington, D.C. area, where I was just, you know, surrounded with, you know, Washington football and all of the glitz and glamour of the team at the time. And I just became a lifelong fan at that point. So I feel fortunate that I was old enough to watch and appreciate the Super Bowl victories of the 80s and early 90s. You know, Washington being one of the more dominant teams in the NFL during the heyday of the Joe Gibbs era. You know, far cry from what we've seen for the past 20 some odd years, but hopefully we're on the upswing with Coach Rivera.
Bueno, Mike le preguntó sobre cómo se hizo fan, pues desde el Super Bowl 17 allá atrás en 1983. Ellos vivían, su familia vivía en Las Vegas y tenía familia también en la zona de Washington. Entonces, pues, les preguntaron a su familia a quién le tenían que ir, a quién le tenían que estar apoyando, qué equipo. Y, pues, les contestaron, evidentemente, a los Washington Redskins de aquella época. Y, bueno, pues, recuerda muy bien ese Super Bowl con ese acarreo de John Riggins en esa cuarta oportunidad, pues, para ganar el Super Bowl contra los Miami Dolphins, allá atrás en 1983. Y pues después él se mudó a la zona de Washington y pues siguió y empezó a conocer a algunos otros fans y siguió con la afición al equipo. Vivió evidentemente los buenos momentos de los 80s y los 90s y luego los malos, pero pues se espera que con la época de Ron Rivera continúe este ascenso hacia hacer un mejor equipo. Es más o menos un poco el resumen de la respuesta de Huck. Huck, your favorite player of those times is John Riggins, or do you have any other?
Oh God, I mean, it's really hard to just isolate on one player because there was so many great players during that time. Sure. You know, I was a huge fan of the wide receiving core. You know, Art Monk and Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders. I mean, ironically, last week, our podcast had the honor of interviewing Gary Clark and hearing about the glory days directly from him and, you know, his experiences in the two Super Bowls that he played in and won. And, you know, so it's really hard to say one player. I mean, I was a huge fan of, you know, Art Monk, huge fan of Darryl Green, of course, huge fan of Dexter Manley. I mean, even though he had a checkered history, but you know, before all the bad things happened with Dexter, and he's really turned things around, by the way. You know, he was an exciting player. He was charismatic. He was feared. You know, just Dexter Manley on one side, Charles Mann on the other. Just, I mean, so many great players in that time, so it was really hard to isolate on one.
Yep.
Bueno, Íñigo le preguntó si su jugador favorito era John Riggins o había otro. Dice que es muy difícil elegir un jugador en específico. Le gustaban mucho los receptores. Gary Clark, todos ellos. Dice que de hecho tuvieron la oportunidad la semana pasada de entrevistar a Gary Clark en su podcast. Y bueno, pues eso fue un gran honor. Sé que también obviamente le gustaba mucho Dexter Manley, Art Monk, Darryl Green, Dexter Manley, que bueno, pues que afortunadamente, aunque tuvo momentos no tan favorables en su vida, ya le pudo dar un poquito la vuelta a las cosas. Y sí, pues la verdad, la dupla que hacía con Charles Mann, pues era una dupla muy buena. Y eso es una cosa, pues que sí, la verdad, los aficionados de Washington de tiempo atrás recordarán seguramente todos esos nombres. Y, well, let's move on a little bit, like, to the present, okay. Hawk. What do you think about this team for this year? What are your expectations for the Washington football team on 2021?
Well, I think the first thing that we're going to see with the Washington football team is a team that's going to emulate the spirit of their coach. And what I mean by that is Ron Rivera has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's a leader of men. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. You know, he's the consummate professional. He understands the National Football League on an instinctual level. And I think that level of knowledge and experience is going to translate with the play of the players. I mean, one of the things that we noticed last year with the 2020 team, they battled in every game they played. You know, whether they won or lost, you can't tell me a game where they just got absolutely dominated, the doors blown off them. And I think that's the kind of team you're going to see this year. But I think the difference is because we have, you know, better players and better pieces on this team versus last year's team. I think some of those games that we lost that were close, I think we're going to win some of those games. So I think we're going to see a drastically improved Washington football team. I really fully expect for them to make the playoffs either as the NFC East champions or the wild card. And I think they'll win at least a playoff game. I think that, people should expect them to be in a divisional round, and depending on how the ball breaks in the divisional round, they could potentially make the NFC championship. So that's my kind of forecast for the team this year. I think they're going to go 10-7 in the regular season. And I think they're going to be competitive in every game they play this year.
Bueno, le preguntaba a Mike sobre las expectativas para este equipo en el 2021 y nos dice Hawk que básicamente va a ser un reflejo del coach Rivera, que él cree que es un magnífico líder, un luchador, una persona que conoce muy bien la NFL y que la entiende muy bien desde un sentido instintivo. Que el equipo el año pasado fue un equipo muy luchador, que no hay nadie que le pueda decir de un partido que no haya luchado el equipo, y las expectativas en cuanto a récord son 10 victorias y 7 derrotas, y que pues, se le espera que va a clasificar el equipo ya sea como campeón divisional o como wild card, y que además va a ganar un partido de playoffs este año. Hawk, the defense is the star of this team, but how about the offense? You told us about the improvements this year. I think the offense is pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the area that was definitely a weakness in 2020, which was our wide receiving core, I think yes. They definitely addressed that in the offseason. You know, drafting Dyami Brown in the third round, who's a speedster from the University of North Carolina, bringing in Curtis Samuel from the Carolina Panthers, who's played with Coach Rivera in the past and understands the offense, bringing in an Adam Humphries that played with Ryan Fitzpatrick in Tampa Bay, who will probably be his security blanket. I also like the fact that we drafted a tight end, add depth to the tight end position. We just signed Logan Thomas to an extension on his contract. So I think that, you know, we're going to have more weapons than we had last year. I'm also really excited about Fitzpatrick and what he's going to bring. I mean, he has a gunslinger quality to him. I think he's going to push the ball down the field. And I think in training camp, the wide receiver competition is going to be the premier position group battle for Washington football team training camp in 2021. So, I think that preseason games for the wide receiver core is going to be especially critical. I think that players that don't make plays big plays in preseason is really going to hurt them probably more than some yes. other groups. I think that Coach Rivera understands that we have to have impact players that can make big plays and stretch the field, and we didn't really have that last year. So it's really important that we do that this year.
Yeah.
Okay, bueno, Íñigo le pregunta por la ofensiva. Todos hablamos de la defensiva, le pregunta por la ofensiva. Dice que, bueno, de entrada, pues sí, hay una mejoría notoria con la ofensiva. Dice, obviamente, la llegada de Curtis Samuel, de Adam Humphries, en la selección de Jami Brown, este jugador tan rápido de North Carolina. Dice la selección del ala cerrada de John Bates para agregar un poquito más de profundidad a la posición. La extensión de Logan Thomas, que creo que todos estamos muy contentos. We're all very happy about Logan Thomas getting 3 years.
Yes.
And también, obviamente, dice, bueno, que va a ser una competencia muy dura. Dice, creo que va a ser como la competencia más importante dentro del training camp y en la pretemporada. Dice, seguramente los receptores que no hagan jugadas en la pretemporada van a ser los que van a tener problemas, obviamente, pues, para quedarse en el equipo, porque ahí sí hay como mucha, mucha competencia, y creo que todos estamos de acuerdo en que es como una de las zonas donde más interés hay que ponerle ahora en el training camp. Entonces, sí, totalmente. Speaking of Fitzpatrick and the quarterback, you said that you like the idea of having Fitzpatrick as the quarterback. What about Taylor Heinicke? A lot of fans like Taylor Heinicke. What do you think about him?
I think I like Taylor Heinicke. I just think that I think if Taylor Heinicke gets in, it's because Fitzpatrick is not playing well. And I think that I think Taylor Heinicke, I think one of the things that the football team wants to do is develop him, you know, and see if he's a guy that they can keep on a roster. I think the big thing for Heinicke is that, I mean, he had a lot of exciting plays at the end of the season, especially the playoff game, you know, against Tampa Bay. And I think a lot of fans kind of fell in love with him because he brought a spark to the offense that we didn't have, you know, all season last year. I mean, even though, you know, Alex Smith came in and, you know, he executed the offense, but he really was a game manager. You know, Heinicke really played with some edge and athleticism, something we really didn't see in any of the quarterbacks last year. And I think that's why fans got excited because, you know, they looked at him and say, "Is this guy? Could this guy potentially be like the next Brett Favre, or you know, a player of that magnitude? You know, I don't know, but I think that is as it relates to Heinicke versus Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick is a known quantity. I mean, he's a journeyman quarterback. He's, you know, he put up big numbers in the NFL, and I think that, you know, the team that Washington is putting on the field, I think they may be a bit risk averse right now." So I think that if we see Heinicke in the game, it's either because Fitzpatrick is injured or he's performed poorly. Like if we start out slow, like if we're like 0-4 or 1-3, expect a huge outcry from the fan base to put Heinicke on as the starter. So that's something you want to pay attention to in the early part of the season.
I agree.
Bueno, le preguntaba Mike sobre Taylor Heinicke. Que bueno, pues todo el mundo conocemos el caso de Fitzpatrick, pero ¿qué onda con Taylor Heinicke? ¿Qué podría pasar con él? Y pues Hawk simplemente nos dice su opinión, que si que le gusta Taylor Heinicke, pero que si él llega a jugar como titular, será porque o Ryan Fitzpatrick tiene un bajón de calidad o porque se lesiona. Por ejemplo, dice si empieza el equipo 1-3 o 0-4, seguramente la afición presionaría para que entrara Taylor Heinicke, sobre todo por lo que pasó el año pasado en los partidos hacia el final, sobre todo el de los playoffs, que de acuerdo a su punto de vista, pues simplemente como que dio una chispa distinta a la ofensiva. Un giro en ese sentido y pues a pesar de que Alex Smith y su importancia pues tuvo una buena actuación el año pasado, es un game manager y simplemente no tenía esa chispa que nos otorgó Taylor Heinicke hacia el final de la temporada y sobre todo en el partido de playoffs. Talk about this offense. I like a lot J.D. McKissic as a special weapon in this Scott Turner offense. I don't know your thoughts about J.D. McKissick. I think he's a pretty special guy.
Yeah, I think McKissick gives them, you know, a lot of flexibility offensively because, you know, he can,
yes,
of course, you know, run in between the tackles. But I think he's a player that is more lethal in space. So, you know, catching passes out of the backfield or lining up at receiver to create some mismatches against the opposing defensive secondary. So I think that McKissick is a player that allows Scott Turner to be a little bit more creative offensively, yeah, especially in like a second and five or a third and three situation where he, you know, he can run the ball or pass the ball. So I think like when Washington is in a, you know, a second and five or a third and two spot, I think that's when McKissick becomes the most dangerous because he can do so many different things for the team. And I think now with, you know, the addition of wide receiver weapons, you know, defenses won't be able to key in on him like they would be able to do, you know, last season where they weren't really as afraid of our receiving core. And I also think he gives Gibson a good rest if he, you know, gets hurt or he needs a blow and everything like that. So I think that he's probably one of the unsung heroes of the offense. And I expect for him to make some quality production for the team this season.
Okay, sí. Pues le preguntaba Íñigo sobre J.D. McKissick, un jugador del que hemos hablado en este programa. Hawk opina que, bueno, sí es un jugador que obviamente ha sido, es muy importante para esta ofensiva. Todo, ya haciendo como un resumen un poquito de lo que dice Hawk, hay muchas piezas, hay muchas armas, y eso va a ser más difícil poder cuidar a J.D. McKissick, porque al tener más receptores, al tener un poquito más de opciones, es un jugador que aparte trabaja muy bien en el juego por pase, y eso obviamente le ayuda bastante. Y ahí hay como un asunto pues de ventajas. También como un jugador que seguramente le va a dar un descanso a este Antonio Gibson. Porque dice, bueno, puede estar lastimado, puede necesitar como un tiempo de descanso. Y obviamente J.D. McKissick es un jugador que es bastante especial, que va a hacer muchas contribuciones, Craig Hawk, y creo que también nosotros, de calidad en el equipo. Creo que es una cosa que también es importante. Y bueno, guys, what do you think? We should read some comments because we have a couple of comments and there's a very interesting question, by the way. Well, first, some hellos. Ángel Niño says hello. Hello, Ángel.
Hello, Ángel.
Luis Iván. Hawk, let me tell you, Luis Iván is a Seahawks fan, but he's a good friend of the show and he likes Washington because of this show.
Okay, awesome.
He's rooting for Washington. Monica, also a good friend of the show. And the important question, and this has been one of the biggest topics in the last couple of days. Ernesto wants to know about our opinion, the three of us, especially Hawk, about the vaccination rate in the team. The team is currently like at 60%, and Ron Rivera expressed his frustration with these levels, especially because of him having battled cancer. And he says, "Oh, I have immunity problems," and obviously that's a situation for him, and he seems a bit like mad about the situation. I want to know, Hawk, what do you think, and maybe we can later share our opinions.
Well, I think that Coach Rivera is angry for multiple reasons, right? So I think the number one reason, of course, is, you know, the health and well-being of the team, right? I mean, we saw the guidance the NFL put out last week is as relates to teams that have a COVID outbreak on their team. And if that outbreak, you know, if they're not able to play that game within that week, a team's going to forfeit a game. So, you know, if you're a coach, you know, you don't want to lose a game due to forfeit because of a COVID-19 outbreak. And the difference is that last year we didn't have a vaccine, right? So now we do have a vaccine, multiple vaccines. So we have measures that can help mitigate the spread of COVID-19 on your team. So when players are not taking this, you know, precaution to protect themselves and protect their fellow players, it is frustrating because it's not just, you know, I mean, you know, getting COVID is bad enough, but you add that to potential penalties from the league that could lead to, you know, losing games, that affects your ability to get in the playoffs and, you know, try to compete for a Super Bowl. So that's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is I think that he's probably struggling to figure out how does the team connect with those players who are a bit reluctant about getting COVID-19, because clearly it's an educational issue, right? Because if, you know, I mean, if 60% of the team is vaccinated and 40% is not, you know, that means that there's something going on with that 40%, you know, whether it's, you know, a lack of knowledge or just being uncomfortable, or maybe there's a medical condition that is preventing them from getting the vaccine. But I think whatever it is, I think that there's going to, for those players who have not been vaccinated, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to get vaccinated, right? And yeah. I just want to add one more thing too, right?
Sure.
So let's say you're a player that's trying to make the roster. Like you're not a Terry McLaurin or Chase Young or Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're just like, you know, an undrafted free agent, or you're like a seventh round pick, or some guy just allowed to try out and you're unvaccinated, right? And when those coaches have to make a decision as far as like you hit that yourself and another player who may be vaccinated and you're kind of like the same, the coaches be like, well, let's go with the vaccinated player, because that player is not going to cause us drama down the season like the player who's unvaccinated. So now you pretend you could be impacting your ability to play in the National Football League because you're not vaccinated. So I'd be curious to see how that plays out in a training camp.
Sure.
Hawk contestó la pregunta de Ernesto y nos dice, yo creo que Ron Rivera está enojado por múltiples causas. Primero porque, bueno, la NFL recientemente dijo que si un equipo tiene un brote de COVID y tiene que suspender su partido, ya no va a ser como el año pasado, simplemente lo va a perder. Sí, no tiene todos el 80% de los vacunados, como lo está exigiendo la NFL. Entonces, dado esta medida, porque este año ya tenemos vacunas, Ron Rivera está frustrado en ese sentido, porque nosotros nada más tenemos el 60% de los vacunados y el otro 40% no. Entonces, pues simplemente no, él no quiere perder partidos, ¿no? Entonces, que va a venir una presión muy importante para ese otro 40% de los coaches y de toda la organización para que sí se vacunen antes del inicio de temporada. Y luego agregó una cosa súper interesante, la verdad, que dice, si no eres de los jugadores que están como seguros, como Chase Young, Terry McLaurin, Ryan Fitzpatrick, etcétera, y estás en esa burbuja de si te vas a quedar o no te vas a quedar en el equipo, en el roster de 53, pues seguramente si estás vacunado vas a tener un plus, una ganancia sobre el que no está vacunado, porque pues al final del día vas a estar peleando a lo mejor de manera muy pareja con algún jugador de tu misma posición, y simplemente pues vas a estar con esa ventaja de que pues estás vacunado, porque pues no va a generar ningún problema el resto de la temporada, ni dramas, ni cosas estas que luego estamos muy acostumbrados.
Completely agree. And I gotta say, for example, think about guys, maybe Steven Sims.
Exactly.
He's in the bubble. Let's be honest. With McLaurin and Samuel and Humphreys and Dyami Brown. Maybe Sims will have
Dax Milne. Yeah.
Dax Milne. How about those guys? Maybe they can say, well, I will vaccinate myself just to maybe have a better shot.
Yes.
Making the team. Sí, o sea, es que de verdad, sí es un punto importantísimo. Un Steven Sims, un Dax Milne, que van a tener que a lo mejor pensar en eso para decir, bueno, me quedo. But the problem is, guys, also, what happens with guys like Montez Sweat, maybe, who says, I don't want to take the vaccine? You cannot cut him.
Yeah.
So we have to balance, like,
it has to be the pressure of the leaders of the organization, Terry McLaurin, obviously Coach Rivera, all the coaches.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a lot of pressure on those unvaccinated players to get vaccinated, like tremendous pressure, because again, like, I mean, I'll say this, right? Coach Rivera has illustrated that he has no problem separating from players who are not, you know, going to execute that culture. So, like, if he's saying yes. that he's very, very frustrated, if I'm a player, I'm paying attention to that. You know, like,
yeah.
you know, and probably like a player like Montez Sweat, it's a small population of players that are going to be able to escape that, that cannot get, that won't get vaccinated, and they're not going to be impacted by a coach.
Sí, y bueno, nos decía ahí Hawk, que sí, es cierto, el grupo de jugadores que son así como, que no están como en este grupito, es muy complicado porque la realidad es complejo. Ya regresaste, Íñigo, ya te vemos. Ya
I'm back.
Right, you're back. Entonces, bueno, la verdad es que sí, es un asunto bien delicado porque la realidad es que, como bien dice Hawk, si de repente Ron Rivera dice, estoy frustrado, creo que es una cosa que tiene que llamar la atención de los jugadores, y lo dice muy bien Hawk, que Ron Rivera llame la atención de esa manera, pues sí debe de ser, para que los jugadores escuchen. Entonces, Horsco dice, y Ron Rivera no ha tenido como problema para separar jugadores del roster. Dwayne Haskins is the best example, right? He was maybe the only quarterback option, and he got him. Like, yeah, I agree. Íñigo, ¿vas con la pregunta?
The question, next question. Well, checking about the defense, obviously the defensive line is the star of the defense. But I like a lot William Jackson III. I'm excited. I'm hyped up with William Jackson. I don't know your opinion about this. Is this an upgrade, or we can be nervous about the cornerback's position?
No, I think William Jackson is definitely an upgrade. I mean, they're forecasting him to be a player that could definitely be, you know, Pro Bowl caliber performance yes. for the team this year. And I think more importantly with having William Jackson is that you have a quality cornerback on both sides of the defense. So you're going to have William Jackson on one side, and you're going to have Kendall Fuller on the yeah. other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, people forget that Kendall Fuller is a ball hawk. He's very talented, very skilled. So I think that, you know, Washington definitely upgraded in that position. I mean, William Jackson is clearly going to be the guy that's going to be in the starting role for them. There's no questions about that. And I expect for him to perform admirably this season.
Yes. Bueno, obviamente se le preguntaba por William Jackson, otra de las adiciones que tiene el equipo, como si es una mejora o hay que seguir pensando que hay huecos. Hawk dice que no, que él cree que es una mejora definitivamente. Sobre todo tener una pareja como la de William Jackson y Kendall Fuller, dice, a la gente luego se le olvida que Kendall Fuller es básicamente pues un gran defensivo, un ball hawk, se les conoce en inglés. Esos como grandes, como están muy atentos al balón. Uh-huh. Entonces la verdad es que pues es una buena dupla, es una mejora definitivamente y estamos como cubiertos. I want to take a pause with the Washington football team, Hawk. So you can tell us a little bit more about the DC Tweet Team, which is your podcast.
Oh, yeah. So we started the DC Tweet Team back in 2013. We were originally the Redskins Tweet Team, and, you know, when we were the Redskins. And how that came about was I was invited to participate in the social media day by the team at training camp in 2013. And basically they just identified different fans who are very active on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, so on and so forth. And when I went to the event and I saw all these fans that were interacting on social media at the training camp, and I was saying, like, what if we had a way of keeping these fans connected and building these alliances on social media? And that's when I came up with hashtag Redskins Tweet Team. You know, Redskins fans would like to tweet about their favorite team, Redskins Tweet Team. And it just kind of took off, you know, and we started meeting fans from, you know, all over the world, you know, in England and Germany, Colombia, Canada, you know, all over the U.S., and, you know, we started putting together meetups, you know, where people were coming in from different parts of the country to fellowship together. And I think what it did was you know, living in, you know, I mean, I live 3 hours south of Washington, but I'm from the D.C. area. You know, being around Washington fans, it's like you take it for granted. But if you live in, like, you know, North Dakota, or, you know, or you live in Canada, or you live in England,
live in Mexico,
right? there may not be a lot of fans there, but this platform, these platforms gives us the opportunity to connect with people who normally would not be connected. And, you know, we've been going strong for, you know, 8 years now. And then, you know, in last year, one of our members, Andy Burrows, he had the idea of wanting to host a podcast. And I said, let's go for it. And, he's the captain of that ship. He makes like a lot of the editorial decisions and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just taken off. And I think the beautiful thing about the DC PT podcast is that, you know, we have, you know, Andy, who really leads the efforts in the charge living in England, and, you know, have me and Shelley here in the U.S., but it's really an international podcast, you know. So we're, we're giving that that flavor to fans who don't live in America, you know, but they are passionate about the team and they want to consume as much content as possible about the team. And you guys are doing the same thing. So it's, you know, it's really an honor to be with you guys. Like, I'm really excited to be on a podcast with Washington football teams from Mexico talking Washington football. And, you know, so it's very exciting to see this movement grow. I mean, specifically with the DC Tweet team, but just Washington football fans in general connecting via social media.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how can social media work in favor of us.
Yeah.
Bueno, le preguntaba Mike sobre el asunto del DC Tweet Team, cómo surgió y cómo se ha desarrollado. En un principio, pues, lo invitaron a un evento de social media del equipo y empezó a conocer gente. Entonces se empezó a hacer una comunidad de Twitter en donde conoció gente de Canadá, de distintas partes de los Estados Unidos. Él nos platica que, bueno, vive un poquito al sur de la capital de DC como tal, pero está en el área, ¿no? En el área de Virginia, Maryland y DC al final del día. Entonces, el año pasado, Andy Burrow, que es inglés, pues tuvo la idea de hacer el podcast, y pues Andy, Shelley y Hawk, pues están en el podcast, que pues es al final del día un podcast internacional en ese sentido, porque están con alguien inglés y pues también están en un esfuerzo parecido como el que estamos teniendo nosotros acá con Somos Washington, pero pues más como en un angloparlantes, digamos. Entonces pues está muy muy contento y entusiasmado con la idea de que lo hubiéramos invitado para acá, porque pues al final del día crece la comunidad de algunos en español y pues también con ellos de inglés. It's pretty amazing. This story about the community and the similarities about Somos Washington with the Spanish speaking community of fans and you guys. It's amazing and I'm pretty excited as well.
Thank you.
Y ustedes están emocionados. By the way, as you are using the DC Tweet Team and like people can use the hashtag like to tweet.
Yeah, actually, I mean, the thing is, we want fans to use the DC Tweet Team hashtag because, what we have seen is that it's because people that use the DC Tweet Team hashtag are so dialed into Washington football and wanting to share that content, not just that we generate, but content from other podcasts or, you know, other content creators, you know, just amplify all things Washington, you know. Like, for example, today, one of the writers for the Washington football team, Zach Selby, you know, he wrote an article. And what I did was, you know, I just used hashtag DC Tweet Team. And I said, hey, check out this article from Zach Selby. And I tagged maybe like as many people as I could in the tweet to amplify it. And, you know, I probably put that content in front of people that might not have looked at it themselves. And you do that, and you do that as a force multiplier over, you know, 8 years, you get like a nice, robust digital presence. So, I mean, I think one of the things that was helpful for us is like one of the things that we've done, like a couple of years ago, we had a member of the DC Tweet Team that was in a competition to be Fan of the Year with NBC Sports Washington. And because we had this group of folks that were constantly tweeting about him and using the DC Tweet Team hashtag, we were able to amplify his presence on social media, and he ended up winning. So that's the power of social media when it's used properly and used in a positive manner, that it can create, it can bring people together, it can amplify your message, but it also can tear people down if it's used poorly. But you know, we advocate using it in a positive manner and talk about our team in a positive way.
Sí. Bueno, le preguntaba a Mike sobre el hashtag DC hashtag, este hashtag DC Tweet Team, that it's down there. Ahí está abajo el hashtag que ellos utilizan, y que si lo podrían utilizar algunos otros. Y entonces dice, por supuesto, esto amplifica esta comunidad, y pues a través de esta amplificación de la comunidad, por ejemplo, pues ganaron un premio con NBC Sports Washington el año pasado, me parece. Entonces, y han podido conocer más gente, y entonces al final del día, pues si ellos comparten una nota de algo de Washington, del equipo, pues simplemente con el hashtag, a lo mejor hay gente que no conoce ese medio o algún insider o alguna persona que trabaja para la organización, pues simplemente lo conocen, y entonces pues están muchísimo más enterados, y pues sigan el hashtag DC Tweet Team y utilícenlo en sus tweets para amplificar esto y amplificar la información y amplificar todo.
There's a question about suggestion. Yeah. A suggestion for you, Íñigo, Hawk, and everybody, para todos. Use DC Tweet Team in your tweets, usen and also use this one.
Yeah.
For the Spanish and the English, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Our friends who are watching the show and who constantly support us, they use this one as well. Some of Washington. So maybe we can use both.
Yeah, we absolutely can. I mean, the thing that I do sometimes, like when I post tweets, I like to use different hashtags to connect with different audiences and stuff like that. So, like, I mean, during the year, I'll use DC Tweet Team, Washington Football, you know, Fight for ODC. I'll use, and it says Somos Washington.
Somos Washington. Let me show you again.
Yeah. All right, Somos Washington. So I'll start tagging that in our tweets and stuff like that, I got to get creative with my tweets and everything. So what I may do is put Somos Washington and put the Mexican flag after it. You know,
The connection is there. Yeah.
Somos Washington started in Mexico, but
right.
has turned like Latin American and Spanish thing. So yeah, if you can add the Somos Washington to your tweets, we will add DC Tweet Team to our tweets.
Right. Absolutely. We'll do that.
Sure, to connect and to make this community even bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bueno, Mike estaba comentando que utilicen el hashtag de DC Tweet Team y también el de Somos Washington para toda su información que por ahí tuiteen con el relación al equipo. Y pues simplemente nos decía que pues va a empezar a utilizar el Somos Washington, y que pues él siempre utiliza en sus redes sociales diferentes hashtags, pues para tratar de conectar con diferentes personas, como el Fight for All DC, como el DC Tweet Team, como el Washington Football y algunos otros, ¿no? Entonces pues utilicen todos estos hashtags para llegar a distintas comunidades y amplificar esta comunidad de fans de Washington Football. There's a question about the about the offensive line. Well, this one from Carlos. The other one?
You want to go first with the O-line, okay.
Yeah. Ernesto, it's calling about the offensive line. Can they protect enough Taylor Heinicke or open the lines for the running backs? How do you think?
Well, I mean, it remains to be seen because there's so many new players on the offensive line, but you would think that the reason why those players were brought in was to upgrade the position, number one, and to get players that they felt could play Scott Turner's scheme. So I'm going to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, think that they will protect the quarterback. I will say this, that if we see improved offensive line play, that's going to directly impact our ability to win games. So, I mean, like, because if you're giving, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick time to operate that offense and go through his progressions and find that target, you know, they're going to be doing a heck of a job. And then the offensive line didn't do a bad job last year. I mean, it wasn't a bad offensive line, but it wasn't a dominant offensive line either, you know. And that's always been my, you know, critique of not just Washington, but all NFL teams. Like, make the investment in your offensive line, because, you know, if that quarter, any professional quarterback, if they have time to go through their progressions, they are going to perform, period.
Sure.
And so that's going to be a big question mark for Washington in 2021 to see if that offensive line is going to be able to do the job, you know, and not just do the job, but excel. I think that's the thing that we got to see. We need to see our players excelling. Like, we need the offensive line to be dominant. We need wide receivers to be dominant. We know the defensive line is going to be dominant, but we need the cornerbacks to be dominant. You know, we need the running backs to be dominant. We need everybody to be dominant. Because I think, like, you know, I think that the standard right now is that the fan base wants to see this team be successful. So we need to see some domination across the board.
Sure. A la pregunta de la línea ofensiva dice que sí, que cree que se puede hacer un trabajo bueno abriendo espacios para los corredores, dándole tiempo a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Dice, si le das tiempo, pues obviamente eso va a ser mejor. Cualquier corredor del NFL necesita tiempo para poder lanzar. Dice, y creo que, dice, una cosa importante, se han hecho cambios tratando de mejorar la línea ofensiva. Dice, y una cosa que no nada más Washington, sino todos los equipos de NFL deben entender, es que necesitan tener líneas ofensivas dominantes. Sí. Para poder controlar el juego. Dice, creo que los fans quieren ver una línea ofensiva dominante, con un grupo de receptores que domina también. Sabemos que la línea defensiva va a hacer su trabajo, que van a ser dominantes, pero también tendríamos que verlo del otro lado. Y hablan de una cosa bien cierta, y que la hemos visto con la gente que ha venido. Todo mundo espera cosas buenas de Washington este año. Dice, la gente espera cosas buenas. La gente espera ver resultados, y para eso ocupas, pues, que haya un dominio, tanto de la línea ofensiva como de la defensiva, de ambos lados. Y pues eso va a ser importante. I just want to add, I follow your idea, Hawk. I think every NFL team should invest in the offensive line, except for the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys.
Absolutely. They should get the cheapest, least talented offensive lineman in the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't overpay tackles, guys. Take cheap ones.
Yeah.
We have to reborn the Hawks.
Right,
the Hawks from the 80s. Yeah,
the Hawks.
Yeah. We need Hawks 3.0.
Yeah,
definitely. Exactly. Yo decía nada más como para agregar que, pues, yo estoy de acuerdo con Hawk, que todo el mundo debe tener una buena línea defensiva, pero yo decía que los que no, los Cowboys, los Eagles y los Giants, eso sí, pues que. Y coincidían todos en que, pues sí, mejor que compren la gente más barata, los más económicos, para que, pues, sea. Pues más tranquilo. Yeah, let's give them like extra money to spend in something else. They don't have to pay for offensive line. They don't need them. tenemos otra pregunta. Tenemos otra pregunta, Íñigo.
We have another question about the name. About the name. Okay. Do you have any favorite name? Carlos is calling about the Red Wolves. It could be an option for the new name. What's your opinion?
I hope so. I mean, like, I was originally Washington Warriors, but, you know, when the team came out and said that that wasn't an option, you know, then I went and made a beeline for Red Wolves. I mean, I actually was on a.
We lost. Perdimos el audio. Un momento. We lost the audio, Hawk.
We lost the audio.
We lost your audio.
I don't know if the microphone
something happened.
Unplugged.
Vamos a ver, estamos teniendo una pequeña fallita con Hawk.
Algunos problemas técnicos, es el problema de irnos en directo. It's the problem about being live.
No.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
You're back. You're back.
All right, cool. What was the question? Like, I got lost off track.
No, don't worry. About the team name. You were mentioning about the Warriors, that you like the Warriors, but
oh yeah, I was Team Warriors all day, every day. But when the team announced that wasn't an option, then I went to the Red Wolves. I mean, I think the Red Wolves it's a great name. I think that the whole concept of, you know, an aggressive animal like a wolf. We don't have a wolf in the NFL. You know, and there's so many things that you could do with that. We could call the defense the Wolf Pack. We could call the stadium the den, like a wolf's den. You know, I mean, on third down, fans are howling at wolves. Can you imagine, you know, thousands of people going in the stands? And stuff like that. I can see players, howling like wolves and everything like that. I mean, seeing fans going to games with wolves heads and hats and, you know, I think that there would be a lot of energy with Red Wolves. So I hope that's the way they go. Because when I think about an NFL team, I think about teams like the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, or, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, you know, or the New York Giants. I mean, those teams kind of have like that oomph to it. Like, and that's what you want. It's, especially when you're replacing an iconic name like the Redskins, right? I mean, I was like enamored with everything Redskins. Like, I love the name. I love the logo. I mean, you know, I had a connection with that. And then, you know, for us to go to something tame and docile, I think it would be a disservice. But I think Red Wolves is the way to go.
Okay, bueno, pues dice que él era como Warrior. Creo que varios estábamos con Warriors. We were also with Warriors. We really like that. Y bueno. Después, pues, cuando se anunció que el nombre de Warriors no puede ser o no va a ser, está descartado, se fue con Red Wolves. Dice que le gusta mucho la idea, dice todo lo que se puede hacer, desde, pues, a la defensiva decirle el Wolfpack, como el grupo de lobos, al estadio decirle el Den, que es como donde viven los lobos.
La madriguera, se dice la madriguera. En español.
Sí, pero pues ella es en el Den. Suena bien, me gusta, the Den.
Sí, the Den.
I like the Den for the name of the stadium. Y dice, bueno, obviamente la gente con sus cabezas de lobos y aullando en tercer down para que la ofensiva contraria no escuche. Pues sí, hasta aulló. You even howled, my friend. Thank you very much for howling for the game. Yeah, that was great. I have to practice my howling, honestly. I don't know if I can do it. No sé si yo puedo aventarme el aullido ahorita.
We sure do practice.
We will practice. If the name comes, we will practice our howling. Ya dijimos que si el nombre queda, pues vamos a practicar el aullido. Y sí, creo que, obviamente, mercadotecnia te da mucho. Dice, no hay ningún tipo de lobo en la NFL. Entonces, eso también ayudaría. O sea, hay nombres que tienen que ser como, pues, nombres rudos, ¿no? Como, sobre todo porque, bueno, dice, él le encantaba el nombre de Redskins. Dice, era un nombre, pues, agresivo, un nombre que tenía como muchas cosas. Se le encantaba el tema del logo, el tema de todo este tipo de cosas. Dice, y desafortunadamente, pues, al no poder tenerlo, dice, no quiero que se vayan por ningún nombre como más dócil, como más tranquilito. Quiere un nombre agresivo y pues creo que sí también tiene sentido el tema de Red Wolves. Ok. Bueno, tenemos una opinión de Alberto. We have an opinion from Alberto about the NFL's posture. He thinks that it's a bit unfair that they are making the players take the vaccine. I just want to say that it's not the NFL is making them. It's making it hard for the players who are unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important difference.
Right.
And I'm saying this for you, Hawk, because this is basically not a question. This is an opinion. And I will answer in Spanish. Mm-hmm. I believe that people have to deal with the consequences of their own decisions.
Yeah.
So absolutely. if you decide not to take the vaccine, that's good. But you have to deal with the consequences. And that means bigger protocols and more things that you have to do in order to get to the game. So I completely understand the posture. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the NFL making it hard for players who are not vaccinated. So, and that's why even Ron Rivera is frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows it will be more difficult for players to deal with the everyday activities.
Right.
Yeah. So, Alberto, nada más, yo nada más diría, creo que no es una obligación, la NFL no está obligando a los jugadores, porque le están haciendo la vida difícil. Y es una postura bastante distinta de decir, bueno, tú no te quieres vacunar, está bien, pero pues tienes que cumplir con tales y tales y tales y tales protocolos. Y creo que es parte de vivir como con tus actos. Porque tú, lo que uno decida hacer va a tener consecuencias y no importa qué decidas. Entonces, si el jugador decide no vacunarse, pues está en su derecho de no vacunarse, pero la NFL también está en su derecho de poner protocolos para asegurarse que el jugador no va a estar en riesgo. Entonces, creo que esa es una postura, no es una pregunta, por eso no hicimos la pregunta como tal, pero creo que ameritaba una respuesta y creo que es, al menos es mi opinión, no sé tú cómo lo ves, Íñigo.
Yeah, first I'm going to tell in English and then in Spanish, and I can add, if you're a player and you're not vaccinated, and then a COVID outcome comes and your team loses the game because of you, you came in with the COVID-19, the virus, I don't know. You have to have the responsibility of that, and it doesn't enter in my mind. I don't understand this posture, but well, I respect that. Y bueno, ahora lo voy a decir en español. Si tú eres un jugador que no está vacunado. Y viene un brote de COVID y tu equipo pierde, pues tienes que hacerte responsable de eso, ¿no? Entonces, pues al final del día, yo creo que los jugadores tienen que hacerse conscientes de esto y pues de alguna manera orillarlos a que se vacunen. Y pues es algo que simplemente no entiendo porque no se pueden vacunar, pero bueno, al final del día respeto las posturas, cada cabeza es un mundo.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, we had to address this situation because, well, we understand that it's a complicated point and a point of discussion. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's very simple. You cannot vaccinate yourself, but you have to deal with consequences. And people,
yes,
like this is like a misunderstanding. They think that being free means having no consequences, and that's what I think that people get this. Like bad, in a bad way.
I think the point that a lot of people are missing, first of all, is, you know, there's a lot of people that are consuming propaganda opposed to facts about the vaccine, and they're allowing their consumption of propaganda to affect their decision making. That's number one. Number two, folks have to understand is that there was tremendous revenue lost last year because of the radical reduction of economic activity on a global scale. And just putting that simply, corporations are not trying to lose money, period, right? Yeah. They are in the business of making money. The National Football League is a corporation. So, exactly. And what I mean by that, when they don't have fans in the stadiums, you know, paying for parking, buying concessions, buying merchandise, buying tickets, you know, that's lost revenue, period. And the NFL and nor any corporate entity is trying to lose money. So so essentially, like, if you're a part of a corporate entity like the NFL and you're a player and you're an integral part of that, and you can't produce because you have COVID, and you having COVID affects the whole team, and they're losing money. One of two things is going to happen: either you're going to get the vaccine, or they're going to part company from you because you're costing the money. So that's the issue that people need to understand. And it's clear to me that you're going to see more pressure applied by governmental institutions and corporations for people to get vaccinated, so they're not interfering with economic activity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to help the economy, the worldwide economy. Amen.
Por supuesto. ¿Quieres que aviente la traducción, Íñigo?
Si quieres yo. Hawk creo que dio dos puntos muy interesantes. Primero, habló de que pues, hay propaganda en contra de las vacunas, entonces hay gente que lo está entendiendo de alguna manera pues extraña. Y lo otro es que, pues, hubo un golpe a la economía del mundo completa el año pasado por el COVID. Y esto, por supuesto, repercutió en las organizaciones. Y la NFL es una organización que es un negocio. Lo hemos dicho muchas veces en muchos espacios también aquí. Entonces, como organización que es un negocio, tienes que cuidar tu negocio. Y entonces, la mejor manera de cuidar el negocio es que la gente esté vacunada y que la gente pueda ir a los estadios, comprar boletos, comprar mercancía, comprar comida, comprar cerveza, comprar cosas en los estadios, y que esto sea un muchísimo, muchísimo mejor negocio. Entonces, estoy totalmente de acuerdo con Hawk. I'm completely agree with you, Hawk. I'm 100% agree with this, with the economics and the income and the... And the revenues things is it's something like you said, people lost this point of view and only see this thing as a fan.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
I will just add, when they say that the players are being forced, let's remember that this is the first time in like forever that the salary cap has gone down.
Yes.
So the players are getting less money.
Mm-hmm. Because of the revenues, yes.
Yep. Right. And they lost money because of the lost revenue because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they are not being affected by it. If they want to have fans back in the stands and they want to have everything back and the salary cap back to normal, they should help.
And the contracts and the...
Yeah,
the contracts of the past. Yes.
How many veterans lost their job because they were expensive veterans in a reduced cap?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So right. That's only the point. Right. Yeah. Los jugadores también perdieron dinero porque les recortaron el tope salarial. Totalmente. Ellos también están viendo afectados por esa cuestión. Entonces, bueno, guys, we have to start closing the show because we're almost on the hour. I want to say thank you, as always, Inigo, and thank you to you, Hawk. It was a great conversation. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my pleasure to be on the show, and I hope you'll invite me back again.
Sure.
It's interesting, the DC Tweet team and the Samos Washington, there are similar initiatives, one in Spanish, mm-hmm. the other one in English, and then we found... By Twitter, actually, Miguel and I met each other on Twitter a few years ago. So this is the power of social media.
Yeah,
right. Bueno. It absolutely is.
Bueno, pues Hawk básicamente está despidiendo, dice que muchas gracias, que se la pasó muy bien y que ojalá lo podamos invitar de regreso, y seguramente le invitaremos de regreso al buen Hawk. Obviamente, pues gracias a toda la gente que dejó sus comentarios, sus preguntas. Y pues como siempre, Íñigo, un gusto estar acá.
Encantados. Denle like. Hawk, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Hawk.
I will
just remember to everybody, les voy a recordar a todos los dos hashtags. Ahora tenemos dos hashtags. We have two hashtags, guys. DC Tweet Team and Somos Washington. You got it, right, Hawk?
I got it. Don't be surprised if you see a tweet tonight.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Right. We will share also. Pondremos tweets con Thomas Washington y con DC Tweet Team. Thank you very much. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Nos vemos a todos. Cuídense.
Bye-bye. See ya. Okay. Take care.